This is episode 38 of the Great Speech Podcast on 5 great communication tips I use all the time.
Let's go.
It's a Great Speech Podcast for the public speakers. We're going way down deep to look at what makes a communicator. We'll look at all different topics from the bottom to the top. So get your mind free of all the distractions and please listen up, listen up, listen up.
It's the Great Speech Podcast.
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 Thanks, Dad. So welcome back. Welcome back, my great communicators. How are you guys doing? I hope you are well. Yes, it's me, Kolari Lishunaike, bringing you yet another episode of the Great Speech Podcast. Kind of just stuff that is meant to help you with becoming a better communicator, because as you know, I believe that great communication is really the key to success in life, in work, in business, pretty much in everything. So I've dedicated my life, or at least this podcast, dedicated this podcast to helping to search for an answer to the question of how we can become better communicators. And this week, I thought I would switch it up a little and just give a few tips. So 5 specific tips of some specific communication skills, techniques that I actually use all the time. It's not that they are the ones that will completely change your life or anything, but they just kind of, they work, right? They're just simple things that you can incorporate into your communication approach, communication life, that will just help you be in more control of the conversations and the interactions you have. So I thought I'd share them with you. And as always, it would be great to know what you guys think. Subscribe, of course, if you haven't already, but send me a text. Send me a tweet or do a review. You know, I always give a shout out to anyone who does a review of my podcast, or just kind of message me on LinkedIn with what you think of these tips, or if you have any suggestions for any others. And of course, if you want to take your communication skills just that little bit further, I've got a great free workshop called 5 Communication Super Skills that will change your, change your career if you use them, and stall your career if you don't. Scroll down in the show notes, you'll see the link there at greatspeech.co/workshop. So what are my 5 tips? Well, tip number 1, and this is really about conversations that you will have and the way to approach them, because very often people think about what is something I can say that will impress people, right? How can I speak in a way, you know, have a great voice, or great tone to it, or what great message can I use, or can I tell a great anecdote or a story? You know that I love my storytelling. And that is all true in terms of it's important to be able to do those things. But that's also quite a lot of pressure sometimes. And I certainly work on stuff like that with my clients. But if you wanted a very simple or at least easy to implement tip on how to be better in conversations, right? And by that, I mean how to communicate in a way that other people will respect and appreciate and kind of remember, as it were, or at least come out of that interaction feeling, yes, that was a really good conversation. I enjoyed speaking with this person. Then my first tip is to focus not on how much you can say or how, you know, how interesting you can make what you say, but on being the one who asks the most interesting questions. That is my first communication tip, and I use this all the time. Be the one to ask the most interesting questions, because the person who asks the most interesting questions is the person who actually basically guides the conversation. And the impact of asking great questions is that people love to answer questions that are intriguing, that are interesting, that take the conversation in a dynamic tangent to the one that everybody else is thinking. And even though it means you then won't be doing the most speaking, you will actually be the one that gets the most credit for having been a great conversationalist. So my first tip is to ask great questions. Focus your attention not just on speaking in a way that is interesting and engaging, but asking questions that really prompt people to think, to consider, to look at things in a different light. So that is my first tip, tip number one, out of the five communication tips that I use all the time, I mean every day, is to ask interesting questions. Okay, so tip number two, this will be quite a short episode, because I just kind of wanted to, switch it up a little bit. Tip number two in terms of communication, and this is one, if you've been in my workshops before, you'll have heard me mention this one, but it's one that was actually, I guess, taught to me by my daughter, or at least my daughter kind of made me alive to this approach. And then, of course, I researched and studied it and realized that it really is a thing. So when my son was younger, he always hated wearing a jacket. Like, you know, it's just one of those random things. Like, we'd be going out and we'd say, okay, right, do you have your bag? Like, check. Do you have your book? He was a great reader. Check. Okay, where's your jacket? I don't want to wear a jacket. It's like, oh, come on, son, you've got to wear a jacket. No, I don't want to. And we'd go back and forth. And, you know, eventually, if he just wasn't going to wear it, you know, I would just be, you know, do what parents do, which is right, you're just going to wear it. And I'd grab him and grab the jacket. We'd go out into the car and I'd just make him wear it, right? You know, prizes for great parenting there. But that was kind of the song and dance we would do all the time. You know, wear your jacket. No, I don't want to. It's cold. No, I'm not cold. I'll be fine. That kind of thing. And then one day, I was not at the door waiting for my son, but my daughter was. I think I was in the kitchen getting the packed lunches or something. And I asked my daughter to make sure that her brother got his jacket. So I heard her shout up to upstairs, because my son was upstairs, and shout up to him asking, hey, what jacket do you want to wear, the red one or the blue one? And he shouted down, the red one, please. She picked up the red one. He came downstairs, put the red jacket on without any fuss whatsoever, and we were out the door. And I remember noticing that, thinking, oh, okay, why is it she can get him to wear his jacket and I can't? But I noticed that she'd actually given him a choice. So the next time we were due to go out, of course, I tried the same technique. Hey, son, which jacket do you want to wear? The red one or the blue one? Red one, please, Dad. Gave him the red one. He put it on and out the door we went. Now, of course, I didn't care whether he wore the red one or the blue one. He always chose the red one. But I didn't care whether he wore the red one or the blue one, because all I wanted was that he wore a jacket. It really didn't matter which one of the jackets he wore. From his point of view, what mattered was not wearing a jacket or not wearing a jacket. What mattered was having the choice. And that brings me on to my communication tip number two, which is about the power of framing. The power of framing. If you are in a conversation, especially if it is a negotiation or just that kind of conversation where you're trying to steer the direction of the interaction to the way you want it to go, there is really almost nothing more powerful than framing. And framing just means if you can get the conversation onto the footing that is most to your advantage, then you control the conversation. And pretty much however it goes, because it's on your footing, it's on your strong ground, right? You're going to win out. So in the example of my son, it really, really didn't matter to me whether he wore the red jacket or the blue jacket, because I just wanted that he wore a jacket. So whatever the outcome of that conversation, I was going to win out. And for some reason, and I do not know why, it's kind of magic, he never just cottoned on to, oh, dad's given me the choice, I'm going to change the framing and go back to, I don't want to wear a jacket at all. That is the power of framing. And it really is something that I have used and I have seen used just in real life, right? Not just, you know, father and son, but in work environments, in business, just framing things in terms of your pricing or framing things in terms of getting a pay rise. You know, if you approach your boss and talk about the progress that your company has made because of its prowess in marketing, say, right? And you are head of marketing, because you frame the conversation talking in those terms, you're much more likely to be able to get a pay rise than if you talk to the boss or the conversation starts about how much money the company has lost recently, right? Or how money is tight, or there needs to be a new budget or whatever. Because you frame the conversation in a certain way that is most to your advantage, you'll be able to guide that conversation to go the way that you want. So my tip number two is all about framing, the power of framing. And it's really about making sure that before you need to try and persuade someone, for instance, you get the conversation on a footing that is most to your advantage, and then try the persuasion part of it. So yes, that's tip number two. Tip number three. I realize a lot of these are kind of children related, but at least it's where I kind of exercised it the most. And one of the things, although I learned it kind of with my children, I have certainly used it with my coaching clients. Now, one of the things about coaching is that you are basically always trying to working to try and help clients do things that they currently can't do, or they feel that they can't do, and to kind of go through barriers or obstacles that at present they feel are in their way and are maybe insurmountable. And as a result, you will often hear, and you know, you will often say it to yourself, maybe, I can't do this. Right? That is, you know, the ultimate limiting statement. I just can't do it. You know, I'm not able to. Right? And that is something that even if you don't say it out loud, may well still be in your mind or in your subconscious, especially for people who suffer from imposter syndrome, which is that fear that we often have that somehow I'm going to be found out because I don't deserve to be here. And one day people are going to figure this out. I had that for a very long time as a barrister, where you think, gosh, does anybody know that I don't really know what I'm doing? So that statement, whether it's verbalized or it's just subconscious, of I can't do it, is very powerful in a negative way. It really can stop you achieving things that are actually within your capability, but because you don't believe it is, you'd never achieve it. So the way to overcome that limiting belief, or at least to start to overcome it, is simply by the addition of one word. It's the word yet. I can't do it yet. And we have a rule in our house with my kids, which is they're never allowed to say, I can't do it. They always have to add that additional word, I can't do it yet. And the advantage of that simple word is that it changes impossibility to possibility. Impossibility to possibility. And the minute your mind takes on the narrative, not of I can't do it, i.e. I can't do it at all, but I can't do it yet, What it signifies to your mind is that it's just a matter of to continue to try working on it. And it's just a matter of time that it will be possible. It's not an immovable obstacle barrier that I cannot get past. I can't do it yet. And it's one word, or at least a phrase, I guess, that if you can incorporate into your lexicon, into your vocabulary, you can use it in many instances where you find other people talking in a negative way. So instead of letting them just meet an obstacle and decide that they can't do it, just throw in that word or that idea. Yeah, no, we can't do it right now, but we can't do it yet. But how can we figure out how to overcome it? And it's a really good way of turning a negative into a positive. And it works incredibly well for children. Also works incredibly well for yourself and for other people. I can't do it yet. Very, very powerful. One word, changing the impossible into the possible. So that is my tip number three. Okay, tip number four. Tip number four is about a phenomenon that is basically called state transference. And all it basically means is that you can influence another person's emotion simply by adopting the emotion it is you want them to have. Let me give you an example that's kind of the opposite. Have you ever been around somebody who is just negative, right? Always looks on the downside, always sees the problems, always looks for the blame. You know, nothing is ever good, right? You ever been around someone like that? I will bet you have, because pretty much all of us have been around somebody like that or know somebody like that. Little tip, if you haven't, that means it's you. If you've ever been around somebody who's just a downer, you will know that it makes you feel bad to be around them. It feels painful. It feels dreary and dull and depressing to be around somebody who is always negative and is always down, right? That's an example of them transferring their mental state or their emotional state onto you. Flip it around. How do you feel when you're around somebody who's just always positive, somebody who has that kind of positive energy about them? You feel good. It's good to be around them. Their positivity rubs off on you. When somebody else laughs and you're watching that, you're kind of tempted to laugh. It's almost the same reason why when somebody else yawns, we kind of are triggered to yawn. So it's state transference that is a very, very powerful communication mechanism, because it's all just about, if I want to try and get other people to get into some sort of emotional state, I can achieve that by putting myself into that emotional state. Give you another kind of negative example. There's some research, actually, I think it was about 2011, that showed that when we talk ill of other people, you know, gossiping about somebody and saying, oh, that person is so, you know, mean, or they're stingy, or they're dumb, or whatever it is, if you're talking, gossiping badly about somebody else, the research suggested that the people hearing you talk about that person like that actually transfer the description that you're giving of that other person onto you. It kind of, basically, it's like if you throw mud, part of it sticks to you. Again, it's an example of state transference. Or another example, which is kind of closer to communication and public speaking, is if you've ever seen a speaker get up on stage and the first thing they say is, hey, how's everybody doing today? And the audience is like, yeah, we're fine. Hey, that's not good enough. Come on, everybody. How are you doing today? And the audience is like, oh, yeah, we're fine, and kind of begrudgingly clap. The reason the audience don't feel enthused is because the speaker isn't showing their own passion, their own internal passion for the subject. They're just trying to draw it out of the audience. By contrast, when you watch a speaker who really speaks with enthusiasm for their subject, where you can feel the passion that that person has for the topic that they are speaking about, it rubs off on you. It's infectious. And you, as an audience member, start to be carried away with that passion. If you've ever watched the TED Talk of Sir Ken Robinson, where he talks about creativity in education, you'll see how he's so clearly passionate about his subject that it just draws the audience in. And it's still, I think, the most popular TED Talk ever given by the late Sir Ken Robinson. So it's an example of how you can influence other people's emotions by demonstrating those emotions in yourself and effectively allowing your own state to be transferred onto them. So it's state transference that is a very, very powerful form of communication. It's kind of almost a Jedi mind trick, but because it allows you to change the state, the emotional state of somebody else by putting that state, putting yourself into that emotional state so that they kind of draw it off you. So that is my tip number four, state transference or emotional state transference. And my final tip number five is about eliminating a particular word from your vocabulary. So at tip number three, I think it was, I talked about adding a particular word, the word yet, so that you never say I can't do it, but you just say I can't do it yet. This tip number five is about eliminating a particular word from your vocabulary. And that word is the word but. It's the word but. Now, if you ever watched the Game of Thrones, there's a little part where the character Jon Snow says to another character, my father always used to say that everything before the word but is just horse shit. Excuse my French. And he was right. It doesn't matter how positive you are in the first half of your sentence. Once you add in the word but, it is everything that follows the word but that people are going to pay attention to. Because the word but effectively negates everything that went before. And that means it doesn't really matter how effusive you are or positive you are about someone or something. Once they hear that but, they're going to forget all that other stuff. It's one of the reasons why, although it's always said that you should, when you're doing employee appraisals, for instance, do the whole start with something positive and then tell them something negative and then end with something positive, that it never works. People just remember the little thing, the negative stuff that you said. Or if you post something on social media and, you know, you get 100 likes, right? But there's one dislike. You're going to be thinking all about the dislike that happened. Or I have it as well, like on my mailing list, for instance, where I may post a particular article or whatever is on my mailing list, and I'll get loads of people reading it and opening it and clicking, and some people responding and saying that was really great. But there will always be a couple of people who unsubscribe, and it kind of hits you. It's like, wow, really? Like, what was it about that email where I poured my heart into kind of sharing some great value of communication with you that made you want to unsubscribe? We laser in on the negative, or at least the but that kind of makes us forget everything beforehand. So my tip is to work as hard as you can to eliminate the word but from your vocabulary. Now, it's hard to do that, especially without replacing it with something. And what I'm going to invite you to replace it with is the word and. The word and. Because you'll find that many times where you want to say but, if you replace it with and, you can still make exactly the same point you want to make, but it flips it from a negative into a positive. So if we take the example of the employee appraisal, for instance, normally a manager would say, hey, listen, Johnny, you had a fantastic year. You've really improved your customer service skills and you have been getting your work in on time, which is all fantastic. Really want to credit you for that. But, you know, you're still not really good on your computer skills. And we've talked about that. So, you know, you've really got to improve on that, right? All the positive stuff you said about, you know, customer service and, you know, all that stuff, little Johnny has forgotten. All Johnny will be hearing is, oh, you know, once again, my boss is criticizing me. I've worked my tail off all year and all they can say is my computer skills aren't up to scratch, even though I've done all these great things. You can flip that by making exactly the same point. Hey, Johnny, listen, want to call you in and say, listen, you've had a fantastic year. You've really gotten your customer skills, customer service skills up to scratch. And your, what else did I say? Your marketing, can't even remember what it was. Your marketing has really improved. And if you can also raise your computer skills, I reckon next year is going to be the best year ever. Do you see that I still made the point about needing to improve his computer skills? But because I took away the word but and replaced it with the word and, it made me describe the need to improve his computer skills, I think it was, in a way that was an addition rather than a subtraction. But is basically a subtraction and is an addition. So I was it allowed me to say, yes, you've been great in these things. And if you improve on this side, everything's going to be superb in a way that doesn't feel or sound so negative, such a downer, such a criticism. Same topic, different approach. And that is my fifth and final of my five communication tips, is to replace the word but. Kind of take it as much as possible out of your vocabulary. And if you do need to replace it with something, try the word and. It will mean you have to slightly change the syntax of your sentence, but you'll still be able to make the same points. Hey, I just used the word but. And you'll still be able to make the same points in a way that makes people feel that it was a plus, it was a positive. It's something they can aspire to, as opposed to you are doing them down or you're being an obstructionist or whatever. Those are my five tips. What do you guys think? So genuinely, I do use these all the time. Not just on my kids, but just in real life, in my practice as a barrister, I use it. Certainly I use it with coaching my clients. And generally I've kind of tried to incorporate it into my daily communication life. So let me know what you guys think. Do you like all five? Do you like one in particular? Do you have something else that you think I haven't thought of, or at least identified in this podcast episode, that you think trumps these five and is far, far better? I love the exchange of discussion with you guys on whatever I cover in this podcast. Really, really is interesting, exciting. So that was the episode this week. Oh, I should actually say, I have given a shout out to before, but actually I haven't done this on this podcast. So I was interviewed recently by the legend that is Pat Flynn of the Smart Passive Income podcast. And I'm so unused to being interviewed. It was really, really remarkable to be invited onto his podcast. And I have to say, I think it's a really, really good episode. He's an incredible interview. It just makes you feel very at home so that you really say so much more. And he asked some really good questions. If you remember, I was talking about asking interesting questions. So if you want to listen to that, I will put the link in the show notes. It's an interview where Pat Flynn is interviewing me. So you get to hear me, I guess, talk about why communication skills are so important. So I'll link to that in the show notes. Just scroll down, you'll see it. Otherwise, I shall see you guys on the next episode. Really, really enjoyed doing this one for you. Actually, slightly different, but I hope you've found it of value. I completely forgot to open with a quote, so I shall also forget to close with goodbye in a different language, and I'll just say see you guys later. Cheers, bye.